This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back in. Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Thursday.
What happened there? I thought you had
There's
a
usually another bump coming back.
I thought you were okay. I was worried about you.
Not a big deal.
That's all right.
Colin, it's all good, man. Colin's in for Ben today.
We ate at a restaurant called Grease.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of grease. It was, and you might think, like, okay, how greasy can you make food? I don't know, but those are the greasiest tater tots I've ever had.
They were good.
And good.
Yeah.
They were a really good burger.
You and I got the same burger, I think, huh?
We did.
Yeah.
We're simpatico.
You and I
Probably
travel.
Time
you,
to bring in a third host
You and
now.
I travel pretty good together, man. This is two trips in 4 weeks, and we've had a good time.
Yeah, no blow-ups or anything.
No.
Nobody, not yet. Like we need to have a viral moment where somebody freaks out in the house about something.
It's going to be Spo. That would be the biggest thing if it was Spo who freaked out, because he's the least freak-outable person here.
Yeah, which helped me. I also feel, though, that Spo might have the most falling down in him. Like, he might, I don't know, if Spo breaks, he's going to break hard.
That's how you go viral.
Yeah, those are the guys you don't expect to freak out. When they freak out, it's pretty major.
Yeah.
I'm going to start agitating him.
So I guess he is getting up and going to the ballpark this morning. Even though it's a road game, there's stuff going on, Spo, over. Okay. All right, so we're going to get stuff. We're going to get Spo a little later on the show.
Spo's going to log some miles in South Florida
today.
Hell
yeah, he is, man. That's good. Yeah, Spo's walking around with his backpack, getting ready to go do work again. Spo, we put you over as a scout earlier on the show today, just so you know. All right, state of the Texans right now. Nick Caserio met with the media yesterday at the Combine, as we roll on here on a Thursday morning on Payne and Pendergast. Where are the Texans right now in Nick's mind as far as where they stand among the lead? Where are they among contenders?
You know, I was just talking to our local guys. I mean, other than the Minnesota and Baltimore game, like, we really had an opportunity to win each game. So what does that tell you? It tells you, all right, we've done enough things. We just got to finish games. We got to execute a little bit more consistently. But if you just keep putting yourself in that position, keep knocking down the door, eventually it's going to cave in. So, but it was fun to watch. Just the arc. The postseason is always fun to watch. There's a reason those teams are still playing. We've been fortunate to be playing here the last couple of years. You know, we've been in the last eight, the last 2 years. So what's the next step? I mean, I don't know. It's just about, like, trying to put together a good team once the season starts. It's just about being consistent over the course of a long period of time. So we're trying to build a consistent program with a consistent winner. We got one of the best head coaches in the league. We got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We feel like we have some really good young players. So just try to continue to build and take advantage of our opportunities and be smart about it.
I always wonder when it's national media asking these questions, what they're expecting. You know, they don't interview Nick on a regular basis, so I always wonder if they're expecting him to say, no, the goal is to get to here next. He's a very process-driven guy.
No, he's very process-driven. And it's a lot of what they used to talk about, or people would talk about in New England, where it's a matter of, okay, can you consistently be at a point where you're making championship games, the conference championship games? I always felt like in New England they felt that if they had – the right quarterback, and, you know, if Belichick thought he was the right coach, that there and if you do enough of the small things across the board well, that you've got a shot at being in the championship game every year. And then there's always a little bit of luck or turn of fate or whatever incredible performances determine whether or not you're going to win the Super Bowl. But it's a high standard. The way Nick puts it, I could see a lot of people maybe feeling like they want a pep talk. They want a guy that's like, we're going to the Super Bowl this year. I just know from watching great coaches or franchises like the Patriots over the years, it's much more of a baseball approach.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's where Nick doesn't get overly excited about the draft. If anything, he downplays its importance compared to the hoopla that's surrounding it.
Big time.
Certainly the combine.
Yep.
Because he just looks at it as it's one of many, many, many different ways to bring players into your building.
Yeah, absolutely. What's funny is that Nick gets asked something like that, and he's very much about the process and just trying to be more consistent and all these things. DeMeco, in the aftermath of losing to the Chiefs in the divisional round, those next two press conferences, especially the one on Monday after the dust had kind of settled on the weekend, was very much about, like, we have to get to the AFC title game.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah.
He was kind of the opposite. Both are fine.
Your partnership between your GM and head coach, the one that I always like and prefer is if you've got less emotional GM, because they have to make emotionally detached decisions, and it allows your head coach to be the guy that, you know, has the feel for the emotional side, for the human side of things, and I think they have a good dynamic in that regard. So Nick and DeMeco seem so genuinely aligned to the point where we don't have to hear about alignment or anything. Remember, though, Brian, that was a big buzzword through multiple different GMs.
It was with Brian Gain.
Yeah.
Because he was not aligned with Rick Smith.
He was not aligned with Rick Smith.
Yeah.
He claimed he was aligned with Gain.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he wasn't aligned with Gain. Then he was aligned with himself.
Easterby showed up and saw, this is aligned, and he just put his foot to it, like, not anymore.
Well, that was Bill O'Brien's biggest weakness with the Texans was as a GM, because he's the exact opposite of that mindset that you're talking about. I mean, imagine if Bill O'Brien had to deal with the Deshaun Watson situation.
Ha!
Because seriously, can you imagine it? I don't know if he would have survived. And I'm not even exaggerating. I think he might have had a stroke.
And we got two fourth-round picks. And at some point, you just got to...
You got to get rid of this guy at some point.
At some point, I got to move on.
Yeah.
There's drills I got to go coach.
I know. I would be a horrible GM. At some point, I would have let it all get to me. I would have either gotten angry or I would have gotten stressed out about what happens if the worst outcome legally happens or whatever. I totally would have botched that.
Yep.
But because Nick could kind of maintain some emotional distance from it, he was able to... I mean, he got back way, way, way more than people were expecting. The only people who were disappointed are people who had been on some of the fake reports about five first-round picks
that. And players.
Yeah.
I remember that, too. I remember looking at it going, okay, being not disappointed, but being like a little surprised that they didn't get a young player or two.
We had tantalized ourselves with a couple of the reports of what people thought the package was going to be.
I think people tantalize themselves with like the fantasy booking of these trades. You know what I mean? Like, here's what it could be. And then that gets morphed into their brain, and this is what it should be.
They were coming in fast and furious yesterday. We're starting to get into that silly season of trade suggestions where, listen, everybody, I know I'm not criticizing you because I succumbed to it as well, but some of the packages that people were suggesting for Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
It's like a seventh-round pick, Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie.
Yeah.
Like, all right, that's not going to happen. Yeah.
There was one that was Titus Howard in a fifth.
Yeah. For
I'm like,
not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not
going to happen. Speaking of DeMeco and Nick, he was asked about that, and he's over the top in how much he enjoys working with DeMeco.
Yeah, it's like year one. I mean, it's been phenomenal from the beginning. And I can't, like, I've been asked about DeMeco countless times, and I feel the same way. I love the guy personally and professionally. His consistency on a day-to-day basis, his message, how he handles the team, it resonates. And, look, he's one of the best head coaches in the league. I don't think anybody would argue that. So we're very fortunate to have him in a position that he's in. I enjoy our relationship. We enjoy each other's relationship. My role and job is to support him in any way possible. So that's my fiduciary responsibility to him. So, and I'll go to war with this guy. So whatever he needs, whatever he thinks we need to do, we talk about it. We have good conversations. We view football through the same lens. A lot of times I'm talking, he's thinking. He's thinking, I'm talking. So we see it through the same kind of, I mean, he's old school in a lot of ways, but he has a very personal touch, and the players respect the hell out of him, and he's so consistent. And when you walk in a building, you feel his energy, you feel his juice, and there's a reason why players want to come to Houston. It's to play for D'Amico, and it's to play for the players, with the players that are in the locker room. I try to get the hell out of the way and just try to be a good resource for D'Amico as much as I can.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, over-designed, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Since a lot of this is taken on the theme of the relationship between D'Amico and Nick, when D'Amico was on the Texans radio with Mark and John, you know, D'Amico kind of painted out a similar healthy separation where D'Amico gives his input about all of these free agents that the Texans have right now. The guys who were on the team last year who are free agents, D'Amico and Nick will talk about what the positives and negatives of each guy is. And then D'Amico said something along the lines of then Nick has to figure out the contract part. So which is a really good separation to have for a coach who's a player's coach in a lot of regards. It's hard to be a player's coach when you're also the guy that's making the financial decisions.
Yes.
Because then you end up looking like a two-face or a hypocrite or what have you. So D'Amico could stand up on a table for a guy, but also understand that Nick's got to do what's best financially for the team and just let it go. And I think they have that ability to let the other guy do his job.
Yeah.
You know, Nick might have opinions about what coverages they should be running, but at a certain point, he's deferring to D'Amico on all
D'Amico's
that stuff.
That's D'Amico's world over there. Yeah.
It's his decision ultimately.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. You know, like Nick came from 2 decades worth of seeing things through a certain lens.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you had the first 2 years here where you're just shuffling through head coaches who aren't long-term solutions. Like I ignore those 2 years when it comes to just like the building of the significant parts of this team moving forward. And it would be interesting just like to talk to Nick about what are certain things that he maybe when he was at New England was not used to looking for in players. Does he look at players or traits differently now that he's really shopping for DeMeco, who's that's a different school of thought than the one he was steeped
well,
in.
Well, I think that, honestly, if you look at the allure that Jack Easterby had for a lot of the people in New England, whether it be Bill Belichick or Nick Caserio himself, like, Belichick knows and understands that he's not a classical people person. And I think that when it came to relating to players and all that, I think Jack Easterby served a really good role for them there. And that it was at least somebody that does, Easterby does have a way with people. You know, and depending on context, it can be good or bad. But it was good in that role in New England. I think when you come here, that I think DeMeco's got a better feel for things like a guy, figuring out whether a guy is a swarm type of guy or a DeMeco Ryans type of guy, perhaps, and then how to manage guys like that who might be underperformers or need to mature a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's just got a much better feel for a lot of that, to where they don't have to try to lean on their life preserver, the Jack Easterby, who supposedly knows people.
Well, Nick used the exact term, that exact term at the end of the cut we just played, and DeMeco's got all these assets as a coach, and then at the end he talks about it, and he has that personal touch.
Yeah.
Is what he used. Belichick had to import his personal
touch.
Right,
well, touch. That's like Belichick. If Belichick,
that's fine.
If Belichick had tried to recreate himself as a player's coach, it would have been an abysmal
Phony.
Failure because, right, it's not him.
Yeah.
And also because Belichick was much more involved on the contract side of things.
Yeah.
And I think wanted to have control over that. So it was just a different dynamic. That's probably a huge different dynamic. I mean, for one, Belichick was the GM of the Patriots.
Yes.
You know, one way or the other, no matter whoever anybody's title was. And people could give him advice, but he was making those ultimate decisions. This is more of a classic GM does his job, head coach does his job type of scenario.
Today's a big day for you.
What is it?
Kenneth Grant is working out today, man.
I've given up on him already.
You have?
I think Kenneth Grant's going to be in the top half of the first round.
Oh, maybe,
defensive tackle out of Michigan.
Maybe he stumbles today or something, though. Maybe he vomits today right in the middle of one of the drills.
Yeah, maybe he cracks up.
He's
like crying in the corner in the fetal position.
Yeah, we're rooting for him to damage himself just enough to fall to 25.
If I were a shady NFL person, I would totally be like trying to leak some report about him or something.
Yes. Let's do it.
Heard this kid likes to drink the beer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Drinks the
beer a lot, I hear.
Yeah.
That's what they say about him.
How else do you get to 340?
Yeah. Well, I guess John Harris said that he's definitely less than 340. So he showed up as a freshman.
Johnny's laid eyes on him.
He sent me a gushing picture about him yesterday at the podium. So now if he does weigh 340, I think John was doing that based on the eyeball.
Yeah.
So if he weighs 340 and John thought he looked less than 340, then that's a really good sign. He showed up at Ohio State weighing 360, got himself down to 340. But then even he was listed at 340 last year. And I honestly, watching him play last year at Michigan, I'd be really, really surprised if he weighed 340 because he was moving like very, very few 340-pounders do. Like, he was moving like Vince Wilfork does.
Yeah.
You know, and Vince Wilfork was a guy that moved way better than what do you think Wilfork? He was always listed at 325, but I think he was more like 340
he was every bit of 340.
He didn't have a real thick lower body, so I could see where maybe it was
I never got that. As I was scanning him, I never got down that far. I'd stop on his belly. I'm like, that is a big belly right there.
That's true. Maybe his legs actually were bigger than I thought. It was just the – remember, like, Yao Ming? Remember Yao Ming? You know, you didn't realize how big he was until you saw him in person because his legs were so gigantic that his upper body looked small comparatively.
Yeah.
But then you see him in your person, you're like, oh, no, just everything is huge. He's not narrow-shouldered at all. He's just got gigantic legs and hips.
The most jarring Yao Ming picture you'll find, and it's probably on the internet somewhere, is him standing next to J.J. Watt.
Right, where J.J. looks like an eager junior high student.
J.J. Watt looks like a slot receiver standing next to him.
Yeah, like, I might want to go up to J.J. Watt's father and be like, are you sure he's old enough to be working out this hard?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to be careful lifting weights that heavy, that young.
Man. All right, we're off and running.
You know, JJ looks like that. Remember that freakishly jacked little kid that used to be in the ads back in the,
Gronk?
No. Like way back in the day, like in the 90s. He had like a, he was like a, it was creepy. He was like a 9-year-old and his dad was a fitness freak.
Oh,
he had like abs and muscles and everything.
I've never seen that and I don't
want to. You'll recognize it when I pull it up for you.
Okay, great. I can't wait.
He had long hair and a ponytail. It just felt weird. He was like the miniature version of what would 20 years later be the annoying fitness guy on Twitter or Instagram. Instagram. Yeah.
All right, we'll get to headlines next. Astros get a win in spring training yesterday. We'll be out there today in Port St. Lucie as they take on the Mets. We got Texans, Rockets win last night. NFL news too, including huge news potentially at the top of the draft that we will get to in headlines. That's coming up next.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.